Amen. Amen. I want to follow on with that same kind of reasoning this morning. I want to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. What I want to deal with is the first two verses of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." There's so much more in this chapter, but I just want to deal with those first two verses this morning. If you were listening to Brother Kenneth about how we're not to be ashamed to own our Lord, then you probably recognize here that if we haven't gotten past that, we really can't enter into this. If we're ashamed to own our Lord or to defend his cause, it's not very likely that we're going to be trying to run our race with patience. Not going to be engaged in the race. This passage, like many others in the scriptures, the chapter begins, "Wherefore?" We need to kind of connect this to something that Paul's already been saying. And if you understand, or if you're familiar with the book of Hebrews, and you know that chapter 11, he goes through what we sometimes affectionately call the Hall of Faith. Not the Hall of Fame. We're not looking for fame, are we? But the Hall of Faith. And he goes through so many of the patriarchs of old, so many of the Bible characters that we read about in the Old Testament. And some are not mentioned by name, but some mentions of what has happened to them, the persecutions that they endured, and how the world was not worthy of them, how they were faithful to God. And then he comes down to the end of chapter 11, and he says, I'm just going to begin verse 37, as he begins to lump these different ones together and speak of the way that they lived their life by faith. He says in verse 37, "They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." Now he's talking about people of faith. People who were faithful to God. And they had to endure such afflictions. He says, "Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." The Lord promised to come back and get us. God has promised eternal life. Jesus died that we might live. How can I be ashamed of that? It's my only hope of being in heaven. And if we believe that, Jesus said, John chapter 11, if we believe that we shall never see death. Oh, preacher, people die all the time. Well, from our perspective, they do. The life leaves this body. When someone breathes out their last, what we see is a picture of death. Death is a separation. When the life and when the blood leaves a body, then that shell that's left behind, that's a picture of death. But Jesus said, if we believe him, we believe that he is the resurrection, we shall never see death. In other words, that part of us that has life and awareness leaves this tabernacle of clay. This soul and spirit goes home to be with God. It never loses its consciousness. That doesn't die. We'll never see death if we believe that Jesus died for us, rose again for us, that he is the resurrection. We'll never see. Or we may experience the separation between the soul and the spirit and the body. But that soul and spirit is alive. And when we breathe out our last here and close our eyes in death, or what we call it, we immediately, no in between, we immediately awake in the presence of our Lord. Awaiting the morning of the resurrection. Never see. These who were faithful in Hebrews chapter 11, they were holding on to something. They were holding on to they were trusting that though they suffered in this life, when this life ended, they would be with the Lord in paradise. You know, that'll help us in our afflictions, won't it? We've not had to deal with such as I've just read to you, that small portion of the Hebrews 11, of being sawn asunder and tortured. But you read Bible, or you read the history, and you'll find many occasions where Christians have been sorely persecuted. Some of our forefathers were burned at the stake. Many things like that. And around the country, around the world today, as we speak, there are many Christians who are being put to death and persecuted for holding on to that blessed name of Jesus, who is all our hope. He is our life. He is everything that we have. And everything we ever hope to have is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you believe that?
Yes.
That's what Ephesians 1 and 3 said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every blessing we have is for Jesus' sake. How could we be ashamed of that blessed name? And so these in Hebrews 11 were holding on. Faithful. And so Paul continues. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. There's coming a time, brethren, when all the family of God are going to be gathered together without the loss of one. And based upon that, then the writer says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now think about this for just a moment. Paul's not mentioned a bunch of spectators. Paul's not mentioning those that knew about Christ, but they didn't know anything about him. He's not talking about that. We're talking about those who've been faithful, those whose lives and the way they lived their lives and what they were willing to endure provided such a wonderful example of encouragement to us. You know, somebody that you've known that didn't exhibit any trust in the Lord and didn't care about the things that they did, that's not any encouragement to faithfulness. We're not talking about such as that. Paul, when he speaks about this great cloud of witnesses, he's talking about those who've held on to the Lord, even in the midst of tribulation and struggle and great affliction. They held on to the Lord, because that's our hope. And he suffered tremendously for us. So what if we have to suffer for his name's sake? because in his suffering, he obtained our eternal redemption. He paid the sin debt for all of his people. And because of that, we will live with him in glory forever. With not a burden, not a sorrow, not a tear, not a heartache, no trials. All will be joy and happiness. Because Jesus suffered to put all of that away. And when we leave this body, all of those sorrows and heartaches and troubles are going to stay here. They're not going with us. Bless your hearts. We'll be delivered finally from all of those things. So that's what he's saying when he speaks about, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Not only those who have lived in the past, but there are many who have lived their lives before us as we've grown up. Some of them are in this building right now. Those that have been faithful to God that we have looked to over the years as we've grown up and lived our lives, and we've seen their faithfulness. We've seen their struggles. We've seen their love. We've seen their trust in the Lord. That's encouraging. What a wonderful heritage we have in the house of the Lord. We've got those who've been faithful, who've been down the road before, and who knows what it's like to have to be faithful to God. What a blessing. We've got those even today. But we've got them. You just read your Bible and you've got them all the way back. All through Bible history, you've got those that have been faithful to God. And God's given us a faithful record of them for our encouragement. Gee, sounds like another good reason to be reading your Bible. Right? Okay. Now he says, of these witnesses, because we have them, because we have the encouragement, because we have the Lord to help us every step of the way, he says, let us lay aside every weight. You don't have to answer, but I want you to think about it. What hinders you from running this race like you should? No matter how good a job you're doing of living to the glory of God, I still say we've all got room for improvement. And if there's room for improvement, what's hindering that improvement? Could be a lot of things, couldn't it? But I'll tell you something. If I've learned anything in the years that I've been studying the Bible, I've learned this. Anytime that we devote ourselves to wanting to be faithful to God, he'll give us the strength we need to be faithful to him. He'll give us the resources you need to be faithful to him. He'll open doors that you need to be faithful to him. Gee, what's wrong then? I must be doing something wrong. I must have some of my affections in the wrong place. I must be spending some of my time too much on other things. If the Lord is willing to do that for us, and he is, then it's a time for us to realize that if we really and truly want to be faithful to him, if we want to bring glory to his name, then we need to be seeking him and asking him sincerely, Lord, show me what you would have me to do. You know, the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus and the Lord struck him down on the road to Damascus, you know, it didn't take Paul very long to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? I mean, he was in a mess. Everything he was trying to do, the Lord has struck him down. And so he realized he was confronted with a power and a glory that had stopped him in his tracks and had blinded his eyes. And so he simply had to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? You might say, well, preacher, what has that got to do with running this race with patience? Because if we're not starting this race in that way and with that attitude, we're not going to get very far. We have to be saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you want me to run? Now, I've not, maybe you have, but I've not heard an audible answer to my prayers yet. The Lord can do that if he wants to, but I haven't heard him give me an audible answer when I've asked such questions as that. But you know what he does? He gives me an impression of the heart. He starts putting thoughts in my mind. He might even bring up somebody that you need to go do a little to help them some way. There may be a direction you're headed in life that needs to change a little bit, or maybe totally. Whatever the case might be, our job, if we're going to run this race with patience, if we're going to run the race that's pleasing to the Lord, we have to start it out by saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you want me to do? It's that idea of not my will, but thine be done. And see, when we find that, then the Lord shows us how we can have a joyful life. But if we're not in the will of God, it's going to be a struggle. All right, so he says, let us lay aside every weight. To these brethren that the writer was addressing in that day, we find that one of the problems they had, as the whole book of Hebrews now, is the early believers were tempted to go back to Judaism, to go back to the law service, to what was comfortable to them all those years, because being a Christian was causing persecution. Being a Christian was they're finding it difficult. And some were going back. Some were turning back. As a matter of fact, if you go back in chapter 10, a few verses, verse 35, Paul has said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye may receive the promise. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Oh, bless your hearts. Our confidence in the Lord. If it's not strong, then we need a renewed vision of who the Lord is. If it's not strong, if we have been blessed to understand that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, that he came into this world, that he suffered and died to redeem us from our sins, that heaven will be the home for all that he died for, if we're blessed to understand that, and yet our confidence is not very strong, then our heart is in the wrong place. And we need a renewed vision of who God is and what he has done and what he's still doing for us each day. And that will show us what weight needs to be laid aside. It may be something small. It may be something simple. It may be something that in many ways is inconsequential. But whatever it is that might be hindering us in this race, it needs to be laid aside. And then he goes on to say, and the sin which does so easily beset us. And for these early believers, the sin of unbelief. That is, of not understanding that Jesus is the Messiah. That he did come. That he did finish the will of God. That he did die and redeem us from our sins. not embracing that, not willing to embrace that in the face of persecution. Sin, which thus so easily beset us. Perhaps unbelief has something to do with our life. But more than not, it has something to do with some other thing that keeps drawing our attention away and lessening our service to the Lord and slowing us down and running this race. The things of this world can do that, can't they? As a matter of fact, in the parable of the sower, when you get to those where the seed that was sown among thorns, it says those thorns, which were the cares and the pleasures and the riches of this world, Jesus defined, those things choke the word. In other words, when we hear the word of God in the Bible, when we hear those things that we ought to be doing in our life, yet because other things have crowded in and we don't have time for that, we ignore it. We just brush it aside. And in effect, those things have choked out that word getting in there and working effectually in those that believe. There's lots of things. There's things that the weights that need to be cast aside. There are sins that easily beset us. An interesting word there, beset. It means that things just from all directions hinder us. And that's the way it is when too much of the world is crowded into our life and we're not giving any focus to how we're serving the Lord, then there's no end to the interruptions. There's no end to the obstacles that come our way that hinder us from being faithful to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that when those things happen that you're not a child of God and you don't love God. No, what we're talking about is getting back to what Brother Kenneth was talking about. Honoring the Lord with our life. So that someday down the road, somebody else can look at the life that we lived and said, there goes a faithful child of God. I'm so encouraged by the example that they gave in their life of being faithful to God. Is the day over that we're not building any faithful characters so that others that come behind us can look at their example as well? Do we have to go to the Old Testament to find good examples? No. There are good examples around us. And it's time for us to be one of those good examples. It's time for us, if we're going to run this race with patience, then someday we can be one of those good examples. Maybe we already are, and I'm thankful for that. But if we're not, it's time for us to take the baton and run with it. We've benefited from so many in the past. We've benefited from the faithfulness of those around us. Now let's be one of them. Let's be one of them today. Lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Let us. You hear that exhortation? That tells us some people will and some people won't. Some people that hear that will take it and run with it, and some people will just ignore it. Some people will just, as soon as we walk out of this building, it's gone. How about it? Are we going to take the exhortations from Scripture? Are we going to apply them to our lives so that we can run with patience the race that is set before us? Just like Brother Kenneth was talking about the lesson in the armor of God, the lesson is put it on. This lesson here in Hebrews chapter 12 is run. You know, we could spend all day talking about what the race is and what the hindrances are and all that, but if you never get in the race and run, what good is it? The lesson is run the race. What race? Well, that's what I've been talking about. The race of life, where we're going to be met with many obstacles, But because of the greatness and the love and the mercy and the goodness and the power of our God, we've got all the help we need to live our life in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord, that would be a blessing to others, and we're a blessing to ourselves. Let us run the race with patience. That seems like a contradiction of terms, doesn't it? But it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. To be able to hold out in a marathon, you've got to condition yourself. You got to pace yourself. You got to know what you're doing. And all of that lends itself very well to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn how to do well. Learn the gospel. Learn what's pleasing to the Lord. There's so much for us to learn. We spend years in school. We spend years in training ourselves for this, that, and the other. So what if we spend some time in the Word of God? Learning how to please our Lord. Learning how to love our families like we should. Learning how to be patient with others. Learning what is the truth, and so that we can spot error, so that we can stand. Because bless your hearts, the lesson from the armor of God, you know, having done all to stand. This analogy is using a race. That was using standing. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're running this race like you should, you can stand. You can stand like you should. So he says that we may let us run our race with patience. The race is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And that's key, brethren. That's key to this whole subject, looking unto Jesus. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. We need to know how to follow, don't we? We need to know how we're to live so that we can show others that we're following. He said, come unto me, all you that labor, are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul. When we learn of him, we learn who he is. When we learn what he's done for us. You know, it's sad to say, but we're living in a day where there's so many people that are trying to worship the God that they want instead of the God that he is. Sometimes we use the expression buffet Christian. You know what that is. Go to a buffet and I like this. Oh, I don't like that. I'm not having that. I'm going to skip over that. They shouldn't even put that there. And some people read their Bible that way. We're never going to find true happiness and peace to our soul until we see him as he is. And say, Lord, what would you have me to do? We're talking about discipleship. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about discipleship, finding out what is pleasing to the Lord, how we're to live with one another and love one another like we should and follow the ways of righteousness. But those things the Lord says to not do are just as important, aren't they? It's poison to us if we entangle ourselves with those things when the Lord says, not let it be named once among us. So, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. Amen. He's the first and last. What he said the first time is 100% right. It's not going to change. That's why I love the Bible. I can sit and read my Bible and I know it's the truth. You know, men are discovering things all along that they thought was right, and then they had to update their information because now they know something different. There's never a need for God to update His Word. There's plenty of need for us to update our understanding of it. But this Word is true and faithful. And so we're to treasure it up. Looking unto Jesus. The best source of finding Jesus is looking in here. If He's planted in your heart the desire to know Him and love Him, then His Word is what will tell us who He is and what He's done and what He's like and what He loves and what He hates and how we're to follow Him and spend time with Him and talk to Him in prayer. Talk to Him in meditation. You know, if you love somebody in this world, you want to spend some time with them, don't you? Don't you? If you really love them and you're not able to be with them, and you really miss them. Well, the Lord really loves us. And He doesn't just want weekend privileges. He wants every day for us to speak with Him. Spend some time with Him. Thank Him. Praise Him. Whatever the case might be, spending time with the Lord will help you run this race with patience better than anything else. Looking unto Jesus, the author. You know, there's some 40 penmen that pinned down the writings of Scripture. There's one author.
That's right.
One author. The Word of God. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's why it's all in agreement. Because it's one author. And one finisher. All those prophecies with regard to what Messiah would do when He came, how He would come, where He would be born, all of those things were fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. All that He gave us in His Word as far as how we're to follow Him, how we're to love Him, how we're to love one another, it's all in His Word. The author and finisher of our faith. Of our faith. Now, He's not talking about your choices. He's talking about the faith which was once delivered to the saints, which is the body of truth that we have in His Word of who He is and what He has accomplished. The author and finisher of our faith. Everything Jesus said, everything that He did, every time He reacted to something, He reacted exactly the way the Father would have. Jesus said, "Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and have you not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father." Because He and the Father are one. And the Holy Spirit are one with them. And they help us. They guide us. They strengthen us to enable us to run this race with patience. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. You know, if you look at what Jesus had to accomplish, you might think, wow, I don't see any joy in that. He had to go to the cross. He had to suffer. Not only at the hands of men, He had to suffer from the wrath of Almighty God, His Father. He had to be separated from His Father. Something had never happened. What is He talking about? For the joy that was set before Him. Because He can look beyond. He knew what He had to do. He knew what He would do. And He knew that He would be back with the Father. Just like He was before. Read John 17 and you'll find out. for the joy that was set before him. Restoration of fellowship, accomplishment of the Father's will, saving all that were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, providing eternal redemption for them, reconciling them, making peace between God and fallen men. And all that were in that covenant of grace who fell with Adam are now reconciled. All that he died for, without the loss of one, will be with him in glory. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Now, let me wrap this up. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This passage exhorts us to run a race with patience, looking unto Jesus. The greatest help we need will come from him. And he's pleased to help us run this race. But he gave us some qualifications. Before we can receive that help, he said, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Get your heart right with the Lord. Get your focus on serving the Lord as a disciple. And well, we've done those things. See, just like he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. How much are we going to be coming after him if we don't deny ourselves? It'll hinder us, won't it? So here in this passage, lay aside every weight, sin which does so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What I want to leave you with is this. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, as he looked for the joy that was set before him. Do you know we have a joy set before us? We sang about it this morning. For all of his people, heaven will be our home. Whether we were a spectator for this race that we're exhorted to run, or whether we ran better than the Apostle Paul, heaven will be our home. What we're talking about here is how much we'll enjoy this life. Because whatever we have to face in this life, heaven is secure. Heaven will be our home. Because Jesus satisfied the wrath of his Father to pay the sin debt. Heaven will be our home. But if we want joy and peace and rest and comfort along life's pathway here, he's told us how we need to run this race, run it with patience, looking unto Jesus. That's how we run this race. That's how you can do it with patience. Because if you're looking to Jesus, if you're trusting him, if you're waiting upon him, and bless your hearts, he'll tell us what we need to do. So he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. We've got a joy set before us. And it'll help us endure the temptations that we face. It'll help us to endure the struggles that we have in this life. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, who the joy is set before us, endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, I think Brother Kenneth quoted from 2 Timothy, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there may be times when people in this life will try to cast shame upon us for believing what we do, for living the way we do, for making the choices that we make. They'll try to shame us. And if there's a lot of people around us that don't think like we do, we'll feel that shame. But if we're looking to Jesus, we can endure that shame. He did. Are we better than he is? No. We're not any better than he is. We're not even close. He did it for us. May God help us to endure whatever we have and bear whatever shame we have to bear, to be faithful to his name and run our race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May God bless you is our prayer.